Welcome to the official podcast of The Next CMO, hosted by Plana, makers of the first AI-driven marketing leadership platform for quickly and easily creating winning marketing plans, maximizing budget impact, and improving ROI. The Next CMO is a thought leadership podcast for those that are CMOs or want to become one. My name is Kelsey Kraft, and I'm the Senior Marketing Manager.
And I'm Peter Mahoney, the founder and CEO of Plana, and welcome to the Next CMO podcast. For this week, we have Aaron Taylor, the EVP of Product and Platform for Canvas, as our guest. Aaron has changed the direction and vision of Canvas, and we are excited to have him on our show today to learn more about his actionable insights through AI-driven emotion analysis. So great to have you here today, Aaron, and maybe we can set the table by having you tell us a little bit about you and the Canvas story.
So sure, I'm a 20-year veteran of market research and SaaS-based product development. I first worked with companies such as Decipher, Focus Vision, Critical Mix, and Dynata, which are market research firms and software firms in the industry. And during that time, I came to know Canvas, which is a sentiment analysis platform. We think we do sentiment analysis better, is really what it comes down to. We take text analysis and also from multiple sources. That includes from social media, such as Twitter or Facebook or YouTube. We take open-ended text, such as from surveys or survey prompts or even book reviews and so forth. And we analyze those for topics, emotions, and some traditional market research analysis to produce insights, because we're an insights company.
How would a brand or a marketer in general use a platform like Canvas to try to understand their customers better? Tell us a little bit about some specific applications of the technology.
If I just use a couple examples. So again, media and entertainment, we do have customers like Disney. One way that they utilize the platform is they have talent sometimes says things, right? And it could be controversial. So they came to us and basically they knew something was going to post, and they knew within an hour afterwards they need to make sure that there's not going to be any sort of blowback or any sort of damage control. So they need to know right away what people were saying about this comment that was made on a talk show. So they were able to use that and identify that actually 98% of people were commenting on that, were saying they agreed with it, they backed it up, they liked it. So there was no damage control. And they were able to, you know, go into a meeting saying this is how people took it and this is how we can run with that. So that's one example. Another example, we did some research with a company called LRW, and they're working with the brand Red Bull. And they were able to, it was their programmatic brain science department. They were able to utilize and look into content and see that while most people were saying they really enjoyed the product, there's a group of people that were angry. And they're like, so what are these people angry about? And they were drilling it down into it. Canvas allows you to import also closed ends, so you can filter and find segmentation and see the differences between them and compare them. And they were able to find that within this group of angry people, there was a higher level of angry people in mass merch, which is like a Walmart or a Costco, versus a C-store or a grocery store. So like, why are these people so angry in these locations? Digging into it, they were able to find out that, and this is an insight that they wouldn't have found otherwise. They wouldn't have noticed they're angry, wouldn't have noticed that it was related to the segmentation, and then into it, what were they actually saying? They found out these consumers were stressed because they were going in these stores and they wanted to get in and get out quickly. They couldn't find the product, or when they got to the location, there's so many people in the aisle, they just didn't want to fight through all the people to get to the Red Bull. So what that created action for LRW, and they're able to go back to Red Bull and say, here's some things you could do. So they were able to do an end cap, put it closer to the front of the store, allow people to get in and get out and actually improve the sales cycle for Red Bull in these mass merch stores and reduce the anger for their consumer.
So do you have to be a big brand to take advantage of these kinds of capabilities, or can smaller kinds of smaller companies take advantage of this kind of emotional analysis?
No, you don't have to be a big company. So we work with boutique firms, we work with large firms, we work with brands. It really doesn't matter. I think an example of that probably would be, I know I just went and got my oil changed at a regional oil change firm. They probably 5 or 10 stores. Right afterwards, I got a text message that said, here's an NPS study, 0 to 10 scale. But what's that missing is I can reply and say, this is a 10, this is a 1, or this is a 5, but I don't know why. So if they just did one more question, asked why, I would be able to answer specifically why I felt that way. And we have some examples of that too. We did another case study where we were looking actually in this case is related to historical data around people who went to see theatrical, went to movie theaters. And we found that we asked a similar question to all these people. This was a 5-point scale. They all said, yes, I definitely go to see this. This is, you know, 5, 5, 5. The follow-up question was, why do you want to go see this content? And then the answers in there were very wildly different. Some were like, I love this movie idea. I love this concept. They were like, I don't know. I just maybe didn't want to go or didn't want to miss it or something. But the nuance inside there was very different related to it. And it creates some sort of action. Another way that we've seen it used too is like the voice of the consumer. So if we think about it, if like you check out at Amazon or you check out your little, it could be like a small retail store or whatever. You check out, there's a follow-up question. It's, you know, how is this experience? And it'd be a 5-point scale or a 10-point scale. Again, asking why. If I say, I loved this experience, right? I love this experience. It might be important to understand why did I love it? I love the prices. I love the availability. I loved how easy it was to purchase. Or vice versa, I hated it. Why? Maybe it was just because you didn't have the thing I wanted, whereas the rest of the experience was great. But without that nuance, we don't know where to spend our time and energy. Like, how do we know how to improve our process if we just know that you didn't like it? So there's a nuance there. It doesn't matter how big you are, how small you are in terms of an organization size, that sort of information can feed back in the product. And again, it's being more empathetic. Understanding what your consumer wants can help you change the ROI in terms of your overall or just the bottom line in general.
So talk about the amount of data that would be useful for you to look at to make some meaningful kinds of insights come out of it.
Because we are trained on all this content that we have over the past 7 years, we have a corpus of information and we're able to understand the way people speak. So that means we don't have to train our content. So traditional systems require you to take a whole bunch of data related to this, that, or the other in order to start understanding what you're seeing in the content, and you do some sort of NLP around that to cluster and find content. We've already done all that work for you. It could be 50 really nuanced records of content, like in a qual type study. It could be 150 open ends. It could be 5,000 open ends. It could be 100,000 open ends or any sort of content like book reviews, et cetera. So the content really doesn't matter as long as we can find the trends within it, what the people are saying, as long as there are trends within it. So if I took content from various different sources that had nothing to do with each other, you can have a whole bunch of topics as opposed to some sort of grouped together content, like an open-ended question in a survey around how you like your car. We're able to find topics, emotions, if there are emotions in there. Sometimes people say things that are not emotional, like, I'm going to buy this. There's no emotion around that. That's an action. So there's just different nuances in there. And that's also one of the reasons we use what we call reaction rate, which is like how engaged are people with this actual question or the content. So if the people are really saying that really excited about it, there's going to be more emotion in that versus if it's not very exciting or there's nothing really going on with it, it's just, yes, I went there. We engage like the different type of events and different types of things based on how much emotion that person actually puts into it.
And how would you tell in a case like that? Because I can imagine that unless you put a bunch of exclamation points behind that statement, I'm going to buy this, that could be, I'm going to buy this, I'm super excited, or I'm going to buy this, I am a robot. Is it possible to discern some more information from that limited content? Or do you need a little bit more to try to understand what's happening and with terse text like that?
In many cases, we do find based on the extra things that they do. Again, we do curate that information. If we see like someone's using a bunch of explanation points, we can extend that right into with the term, I really love this, or I'm going explanation point, right? We can identify that and utilize that as an emotion, whereas just I'm going has nothing there. So to answer your question, yes, explanation points, emojis, different ways of saying things that we know to be like a common way that people are excited about stuff. Again, the natural way to speak or just slang, like we say things a certain way that we get used to and those and we can identify those inside Canvas.
So from your experience, you know, obviously you personally and in your company has a great body of experience when it comes to understanding this kind of data. If you look across the marketers that you're working with on a regular basis, are there questions that marketers should be asking of their customers through this kind of analysis that you see some common threads that people just aren't doing, just the obvious one or two things that everybody should be doing by leveraging these kinds of capabilities?
What we're seeing mostly is that due to inertia, people just aren't asking the questions because it's traditionally, it's either expensive, it takes too long, 3 to 5 days to get some sort of analysis back from it. They don't know what to do with the data because there's too much of it and they can't dig into it and understand. So really just asking the questions is what we really want people to do. Why do you feel this way? What about this do you like? How is this something that will make your life better? By asking those questions, it again adds more to the overall story, and we can actually hear what the consumer is saying, and then we can create action from that context. But if you don't ask the question, there's nothing to actually utilize from that. And there's only so much you can get from a closed-ended question because we're now aiding people and telling them what they think, what we think they're going to tell us. Here's a whole list of things that we think you're going to say, choose from them. But what we're missing is really what they're feeling, really what their intent is, because we just don't know. That's the one thing that we're trying to let everyone know, that inertia doesn't have to happen anymore. We can compress this data down to something that's near instant that you can utilize right after the data or the research has happened. And it's in a format that's easy to use, easy to digest, easy to filter. And then it can be, you can even tune it further. We have ways that if you have your own content that is unique to the way that you operate or your own features or things like that, our system can actually learn about those things. And when you're, if you're doing like a regular feedback survey or a tracking study, things like that, it can actually get smarter over time and actually start producing those things for you, benchmarks. And if people are talking about certain thing more or less, or a new feature that's been released, we have a game company that uses it to find out how their game features are landing with their customers, which really helps them out to understand, are we spending money in the right places? Was this a great thing to do? And you can also listen for other things like marketing in your game. Like they do positioning products in there, right? Like you might see a Coke can or a Pepsi can inside of a video game. Who paid for that? I'm sure someone paid for that. So is that working? Are customers talking about it? Is it being placed and positioned properly? So knowing that allows for a marketer, did we spend our dollars the right way, first off? And, or as the company who's selling the advertising, here, look, people are talking about the product that you put in my video or my game or my whatever. So why don't you spend more with me?
Yeah, so that makes it easier. That's fascinating. I tell you, the one thing that I find vexing around a trend in marketing around just deeply embedding product placement with influencers, as an example, is trying to figure out, well, how in the world do you measure that thing? And this is a really interesting way to try to get at some answers, at least, to that question. Is it changing the discussion? Is there a discussion at all? Does anyone notice it? Right? It would be handy to know whether you're eliciting any kind of reaction at all. So it seems like that could be an interesting vein to go after, to try to understand if you can go after the large sums of money that are being spent on 16-year-olds on TikTok.
And that's very interesting. So I published a blog post earlier in the year talking about this very thing. So we did some research around MTV Awards, Viacom, and we noticed an insight in there that we weren't expecting, which is that Toyota was coming up as a advertiser for this, and people were talking about it. They really liked the placement or the cars or the ads that were happening within the show. So that's an insight that we didn't expect to find, and then we were able to highlight to the organization so they can take it back to their advertisers and say, look, people are talking about it. We should keep doing this. We would love to have you as a continued advertiser for our programming. And then we're seeing that a lot with also this, the general agencies, right? So that's one of the reasons they use our campaign feature to track ad testing. They'll do, and again, they'll do things like track to see how their recipe did, or they have a video around recipes or around making cakes. And that is on YouTube. Like, who's listening to it? Who's watching to it? And also, is it comparable and benchmarking it versus our competitors doing the same thing? And now how do I do what they did if they're outperforming mine, or if I'm overperforming, let's do that again. So it gives you a lot of opportunity to create one benchmarks to understand how people are reacting and then just be able to then replicate, right? Because without any sort of KPI, without any sort of understanding of what the numbers mean, you can't actually go out and replicate and produce the same thing or better again.
That makes a lot of sense. And one thing that's come up a few times, I'd love your opinion on, what do you think of NPS?
That is a loaded question.
I, on purpose, I tried to load it.
So NPS, I think I mentioned earlier, I think NPS isn't going to die. It's been asked for many years, and we have the same conversation every single year in market research. Are we going to stop using NPS, right? But yet it keeps coming back. Sometimes people load it into their bonuses. Sometimes they load it into their organization overall, KPI, et cetera. It is a scale. It is a way of measuring something. Will they come up with something similar or better? Maybe. But again, every year we have the same conversation about NPS, and is it going to die? It's not going to die anytime soon. But what I do think is wrong with it is the follow-up question that I mentioned earlier, is the fact that after you find out that people are willing to share this, recommend this, whatever, ask them why. And just don't prescribe to them why you're asking. Just ask them. It's an unaided awareness question. Why do you feel this way? And then just let them emote. And then take that information, and what Canvas can do with it is help you understand what they're actually saying in a very quick, concise way. Again, we have tracking studies that are NPS studies. It's one of our bigger use cases. They track, like I mentioned, gaming company earlier. They track every single week how people are responding to the game. There's an NPS type question in there. And then they're looking at it to see, how do we make it better? How do we get more people? And specifically, not only just for getting more people, but it's also around the ad dollars that go into the gaming, because it's like a mobile-based game, which sometimes those are free. So how are you getting the ad dollars from that? And how do we improve it to make sure that people are not becoming disengaged with that product and then moving on to something else?
Yeah, it's interesting. And I find that so many people, and probably because, as you mentioned a minute ago, people are building NPS into their incentive systems and have, but it's gaining even more popularity. And as a result, you just see it everywhere. And you tire of it sometimes, because every single company keeps asking me my scale of 1 to 10, how likely am I going to recommend the product? And you know exactly what it is. And the frustrating thing is, many people will ask the follow-on question, but you just have this deep-seated belief that no one's ever going to see that or do anything with the data. And it feels like an incredible waste to have that feedback. So you feel like, I don't want to provide the feedback now because no one's going to look at it. I've literally never been followed up with by responding to someone's NPS study, even though sometimes I had some very specific concerns. So it seems like it's a less than perfectly effective solution for people.
That's 100% correct. And that's the inertia that I was mentioning earlier. That's where they ask the question sometimes. And when they do ask the question, what do you do with it? And either it's too expensive, or it takes too much time to analyze, or I don't know what to do. When I look at the data, I don't even know what I'm supposed to do with it. What's bubbling to the surface? So that's where we're trying to change. And we have been successfully able to change the mind of companies, that they can now look at that data and make decisions around it. And that's also why we use emotion as a better nuance than a value score. Because again, just knowing that something's positive or negative, I can't do anything with that. It's not programmatically capable of advancing in any detail. If I know they're angry, right, and people are emoting they're angry, and I am able to identify that, I can put them in the VOC loop where immediately someone can contact the person and prevent them from causing more damage, solve their problem. I can see, oh, these people are angry. Don't worry about the people that are super happy right now. We'll get to them in a couple of weeks, because they're not going to do any damage. They're going to tell people they like our product. So that's where we're finding getting our cadence and getting up and running, is around people understanding what's in that open-ended content after the NPS. And that's really where we started into research. Again, we were media and entertainment, and they're just looking at the syndicated products on TV. And next thing you know, our customers are saying, you know what, we have a whole bunch of other data. I bet you if I threw this data into the system, I would be able to understand it, because I can't do anything with it right now. We're just wasting it. And we need to have a better NPS. We need to have a better whatever. Our KPIs are low. Here's one way we can do it. And we find out that they don't like this, they don't like that, they love this. Let's put our dollars in the right spot.
That's great. I really appreciate you sharing your insights here. I think we're coming to the end of our scheduled time. Before we ask our last question, I just want to make sure that you help us understand, and our listeners, how can they learn more about Canvas and some more of your insights?
Absolutely. So canvas.ai, so canvs.ai, no A in there. You can also find us on LinkedIn. You can find us on Twitter, and you can find us on Facebook.
Great. And by the way, I love the story. I have to take a moment to talk about the name, because we had a great discussion about this too. And because it's very clever, So Canvas, as in canvassing your audience and doing a study. And the missing A at the end refers to the fact that you can understand text with misspellings and text in the real world that you see. How'd I do? Was that accurate?
That's perfect. That's exactly right. So you're able to, we're able to find misspellings. We're able to find synonyms, things that are like, we're clustering. So there's a lot of things that are happening. We're not a word cloud. We are actually topic analysis that we're looking at how people are saying things and grouping appropriately. And that's absolutely right.
That's great. Kelsey, I think you have one more question.
Given all this information and all this insight with emotional and semantics, what advice would you give to marketers or CMOs or those aspiring to be one?
In terms of just straight advice to someone taking over or working directly with marketing and whatnot, is first off, just tear down the walls, meaning get closer to your sales, get closer to your product so that you're aligned on your messaging. Have a plan. And then make sure that plan is accountable. So you have some sort of KPI that you can track against that to make sure that your plan is working. In terms of utilizing AI, utilizing sentiment analysis, obviously I would recommend Canvas to understand better what's happening related to the text. But more than that is getting closer to the consumer, understanding what the customer is doing and saying and what they ultimately want you to do. Because our job as marketers is to reach the people that want to use our product and making sure that we have in our product portfolio or services things that they actually want.
That's great advice. Really appreciate that, Aaron. So I think with that, we're going to wrap up, right, Kelsey?
Yes. Thank you so much for your time today, Aaron. What a fascinating conversation. Excited to relearn this again, listen to it again, but make sure to follow the Next CMO and Plana on Twitter and LinkedIn. And if you have any ideas for topics or guests, you can visit our website or email them at thenextcmo@plana.com. Stay tuned for the next community launching soon and have a great day, everyone.